Foster here, and welcome to the Brand Forward Leadership Podcast. I am the creator of the Big Brand Formula and president of Jerry Foster Branding, where we specialize in working with service-based entrepreneurs who want to create a big brand and a strong message that sells so you can excite, delight, and ignite your market and make it easier to get clients. So, please stick around to the end of the show, and we will share how you can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes or so. In the meantime, let's go. Okay, welcome everybody to the Brand Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Jerry Foster, the big branding guy, also known as the branding evangelist. And oh my goodness, we've got a special guest today coming all the way from Denver, Colorado, one of my favorite places. And we were just chatting. She's from North Dakota, I think she said originally. And that's pretty cool as well. But welcome to the show, Chelsea Houston. How you doing, Chelsea?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me, Jerry.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So if you don't mind, please tell everybody who you are, what you do, what your company is all about.
Yeah. So as you said, I live in Denver, just south of Denver in the burbs. I own a construction company here. Started it in March of 2020 of all times. And we do core drilling, and which is the circular cutting in the concrete floor or wall on like high rises, or we work in airports, schools, hotels, prisons, you name it, wherever, condos. So we do the concrete cutting, the core drilling, and we do something called ground penetrating radar. So it is, you scan the concrete for safety before you cut into it. So it more or less tells you there's something in the concrete, or if it's free, if it's safe to cut. So yeah, we do that. And I have two sons who are 7 and 11. I have lived in Colorado with my husband quite a while. We love being outdoorsy. We boat and camp and love just hanging out outside.
Wow. Now, how did you get into the construction business?
Not on purpose. And nor did I try to be an entrepreneur either. So a roundabout way, I have a Spanish degree and a broadcast journalism degree. So I'm from South Dakota. After college, I had to do my internship for my broadcasting degree. So I actually came out to Colorado to do that. I ended up staying. I got my first job out here was at an experiential marketing and trade show company. I worked there 5 or 6 years. It was a really great company, a lot of fun, but I just felt like I wasn't doing anything to give back or make a difference in the world. And so did some soul searching. Ended up actually quitting that. I got my master's in education, became a high school Spanish teacher for 10 years. So totally changed and did that. It was great. But the last year was pretty rough, honestly. And I just didn't love it anymore. So I knew I had to move on. And at this point, I applied for all these jobs. No one called me. Like, it was really discouraging. I was just like, I would hire a teacher in a second to be personally, because they're hardworking. They juggle a million things. But no one called. And the only job I got offered was as an office manager for a different construction company. So I took that. That got me into commercial construction, and they did a different scope, but I learned a lot about it. And I really didn't get trained very well at all. I just got thrown in. It was pretty rough, but I learned the hard way. And then in March of 2020, I started my company, and I actually worked both jobs until April of 22. And then finally was like, I didn't have the capacity anymore to do that. So then finally stepped into my company full time.
Wow. What a story. Holy man, and a Spanish teacher.
Yeah. Just all random, totally different things. Yes. I feel like I'm the queen of reinvention. What do I want to do now? And let's just pick something totally different.
So you do a range of construction. So are you big? Like, how many contractors, how many employees? Mm-hmm. Give us an idea of the scope of your company.
Yeah, we're pretty small still. Like, I finally hired a part-time lady to help me send out like invoices and stuff, because I do literally everything to run the company, which is a lot. I have 3 employees that are out in the field. So 3 technicians. So we're pretty small, but really we've been over doubling every year. So it's been exciting. And we've been received really well in the Denver market.
I love it. How do you get your clients and customers? Is it through referrals, through RFPs, responding to proposals?
So really, we get referrals word of mouth from our current clients. And really, I don't advertise at all. I just go meet people at different events and they get to, it's really just about relationships for me, getting to know people, shake their hand, get to know them as a person. It's not just all about business. And that's truly how we've grown so much. And then people are like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know about you. We would have gone with you years ago if we knew you guys existed and you're good. And a lot of these bigger companies that do what we do, they can't get on a job site for 3 weeks, I'm hearing. And I'm like 1 to 3 days out. So people are like, oh my gosh, and you guys are good. And they get me every single time they call or email. So they now know me well, and they know my technicians well. So it's just building those relationships.
This is a brand new podcast, of course. Mm-hmm. How do you distinguish yourself? How do you differentiate yourself in your industry? Because the perception could easily be you all pretty much do the same thing, have the mm-hmm. same kind of trainings, the same kind of certifications,
yeah.
and technical skills, and blah, blah, blah. How do you set yourself apart?
Sadly, a lot of the bigger companies make it easy for us to stand out. Because I hear a lot of horror stories about how they're just not doing good work, or they're showing up. You can clearly tell they don't want to be there. They hate their job, whatever. And honestly, for me, it's really important. Like, we care, and I want people to know we care. And if, let's say, we go out to a site and I ask a lot of questions beforehand, but if we show up and it's something we aren't able to do successfully, it's our job now to collaborate and communicate with, and we're actually like act as consultants to our clients and say, okay, now that I see this, I would recommend this, or talking to them. Cause really my goal is to have a safe, successful job site. I'm not just going to do whatever they ask if it's not safe or if we don't feel like it will be successful. So it's really just personalizing it a little bit more. And showing up and caring, sadly, that goes a long way. It's sad, but it's true.
So it's really in your customer relationships and your mm-hmm. level of service and commitment and dedication to doing the best job possible.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So are there certain problems that you are very good at solving for customers? Do you do the real hard jobs? Is there something in terms of your skill sets that also mm-hmm. make the best choice?
So one kind of odd thing about me, when I started this company, I get that I'm like, hi, do you want to work for me? And these people are like, who are you? And what proof do you have that I'm going to have a job in 6 months? So I do something a little different because I need really good people. And obviously if you're not safe or you don't know what you're doing, people could die. It's very serious. So I pay my employees for 40 hours a week, whether they're working or not, because it's the ebbs and flows of construction. Sometimes you're super busy and other times maybe not so much, or you have a day on a Tuesday that you're like, I don't have work for this person, and they're hanging out at home getting paid because they're people, they have families to feed. We all need to make money. So I do that to make sure that I have really good people. Because we wouldn't have grown so much if we wouldn't have had good people. And I don't have like turnover. They're like, you actually care about us in the field. They're like, we've worked for all the big companies and no one cared about us or cared what we thought or whatever. And we talk, collaborate daily. And I ask them, I say more about this than I do. It's an art to them. Like, they could do this in their sleep. And I know they know more than I do. So I'm always like, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? When it's really collaborative.
Very nice. Very nice. So what really bugs you about what's going on in the construction industry from your perspective in your neck of the woods? Is there bad intel that maybe some of these potential customers are getting in terms of how to go about selecting the best construction company for the job? Is there something that kind mm-hmm. of bothers you or concerns you? Because yeah. I've often read that a lot of these companies rely on bid, mm-hmm. low bid. What are your thoughts around?
Oh, I love that. That's a great question. Low bid is low bid for a reason, and it's always going to bite you. Always. Like, people should know that by now. But there are some like government things or city things that always take low bid, but then they get hit with change orders. It probably ends up the company maybe isn't the most qualified, but they just did a low bid to get the job. But you always get hit on the back end. I don't really get a lot of bad feedback about my pricing, but I will say I am not trying to be the lowest, and I'm not the lowest, nor am I the highest, but I know we have value. So the clients that work with me see the value, they see what we do, and they're willing happily to pay my rates. But I had a big company approach me, I don't know, last year, and they were like, hey, I had worked with them a little bit, not a lot, but they were like, hey, you're a little more expensive than this other company we normally use. Can you give us lower rates? And I'm like, I'm not trying to be the cheapest. And if that's what you're after, it's just not a good partnership here. And I said, my clients see value and in working with us, and they feel comfortable with my rates. And if not, we're just not a good fit. So the low bid, it's pretty much always just bites you in the butt.
No, I like that, because part of having a strong brand is to have a unique brand, which often pivots around offering high level expertise that nobody else in your market does.
Yeah.
So when you think about, let's say, best value as opposed to lowest price.
Yeah.
Is there a certain way that you go about showcasing the uniqueness and advantages of your expertise?
It's really just communication and honesty. I'm always going to be honest with clients, or I try to go above and beyond owning the business. Yes, there are times when I'm emailing people on a weekend, not expecting them, or like later at night, like not expecting them to respond to me, but like I'm catching up and it's been a busy day, or maybe I had an event all night and then I have to catch up the next day. So it's really just, I get back to people very promptly. I was on a phone call today with somebody. He's like, yeah, I just found out about you and you guys, and I have a different company, but they never call me back. And he's like, that goes a long way with me. It's just these simple things. Be courteous. And when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. I'm not flaky at all. Like I hate flaky people. I can't stand it. Your word, you got to give your word and then do it. It's just, just being honest. People appreciate that. Be honest and hardworking and really communicate with people.
I love this, because one of the things that I take a real strong stand on in the kind of branding work I do is for a company in a service capacity like yours, it convey that you are a me only company as opposed to me too or me also, because convey that there's something about your company that really sets you apart from others. You're ahead of the game. But I'm curious, what is the one thing that you're most proud of that makes your company most attractive to your potential customers? What is that thing that you really embrace that says we are the best choice for you?
Yeah, I really think it's the employees. They know so much of what they're doing. And I always tell people, like, I'll send them out there and they will take a look and see if we can do this. But they're problem solvers, right? They're like, yesterday we had a really weird job that was pretty difficult, but they handled it like nothing. So I can get the first job, but they are the ones that are out showing the quality of the work and showing their craft that's going to keep it coming back. And they are the reason we've grown so quickly, for sure.
So you know what I see, Chelsea, what I call that is you have your secret sauce.
See, yeah.
you have a very special way through your employees of delivering higher value than other people.
And I think so, yeah.
Yeah, my hunch is that you really highlight what makes you special and what makes you indispensable to other companies versus someone thinking you're just run-of-the-mill when you're really saying your shoulders above. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, totally. And I, like, as an owner and operator of the business, I don't micromanage my employees. Like, I trust that they will go out, they are doing the best job, and they know I'm here if they need me. But yeah. Sometimes we only text a day. We might not talk every day. I'm not like harassing them or micromanaging them, because I'm letting them have the freedom to do what they do best. And then if they need me or run into any issues, they can call me and we work through it together. But I don't have time to do that. And they don't want that either. We all just do our thing, and then we all come together when we need to.
Yeah, this is great. This is great. Chelsea, it's really about the customer experience, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, totally.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of times, and again, I've been in the branding industry my entire adult life. I live and breathe this stuff. One of the big challenges, I think, is that for a lot of potential customers, especially those who are looking for companies like yours that offer some kind of service, they can't distinguish one company from the other. They go online, everybody's saying the same things, et cetera. But I think for you, it sounds like you're doing something over and above what others do that will compel them to remember you. And I'm wondering, are you really emphasizing that value to say, you know what? We really are in a class of our own. How do you communicate that you are someone who's going to exceed their expectations?
Yeah, for me, I love getting feedback. And when I do get feedback, I have a praise folder that I keep it all. And when I get it, I tell my employees because they'll be like, oh my gosh, this guy showed up today. He was clean. He was on it. He went above and beyond. He was amazing. And we're not going to lose your number. Like, we're calling you back. And I let the employees know. So I want them to feel valued. But it's just how you make the clients feel. And really, our goal is to make their lives easier. Like, construction's difficult. There's a million moving pieces. Can you show up and make their lives a little easier? And they're like, yeah, actually, that was really seamless. Or it's not like to work with us, it's not this huge, all these hoops you got to jump through. I'm like, okay, I have a few questions. Okay, we're good to go. It's just, they're like, oh, that's so easy. We all have a million things going on, and we just want, to feel good about that experience, that connection, and make their lives a little easier.
I'm with you, Chelsea, because it's all about conveying that you are different, you are better than other options. And so bravo to you. And I got to imagine you've got a ton of success stories from some of your clients. Is there one in particular that you're most proud of that you'd love to share?
Sure. So last year I had done a little bit of work with this company on and off, but they approached us saying, hey, we have a little bit different scope than normal. And a lot of people aren't even wanting to look at this, other companies. Would you be willing to take a look, see if you could do it? So we went out, took a site walk, and my guy's like, yeah, we've done this at a different site. We're good. So it ended up being by far our biggest contract ever, hundreds and hundreds of cores. And they came back to us and we just busted it out. It went wonderfully. And then on that site, we got another client we had already worked with elsewhere. They started calling us. They call us weekly for that site. And other ones too would see our vans and they hear about us. So I was just very proud of my employees. They stepped it up. Like I said, we're small and we hadn't had that capacity for that many at the time, but we made it work. We figured it out. I was really proud of them.
Listen, I know people who are tuning in and listening to you want to perhaps learn more about your company. So this is for the people in the Denver area, Colorado, whatever. How can people get a hold of you? What's your website? Are you on social media and so forth?
Yeah, I would say two websites. I have a personal one that talks about my books, speaking, different events, things like that. So that's just chelseahewsome.com. And then my construction company website is AmericanGPRCO.com.
All right, so there's another part to Chelsea besides a construction company.
Yes, I'm
Did
a
you say?
best-selling author, speaker. I'm going to be a podcaster soon. I'm starting my podcast very soon.
Wow. What do you speak on?
Actually, I was just in Dallas last weekend at a conference. I spoke on just overcoming adversity and specific things I've gone through in life, and really then how you have to do the work to dig out, and you can become stronger on the other side, or you can let it break you. We all go through adversity, right? It's just how do you approach it and use it to propel you forward versus feeling stuck.
God, you've been holding back on me. We got to have a separate interview around Chelsea Houston personal brand.
Oh yeah, I could chat forever.
Oh, I love it. Listen, you are awesome. It's so great having you
Thank
here
you.
today. Is there one more thing you would like to leave with our audience, either about the construction industry, your company, or the Chelsea Houston personal brand?
I would just something I feel called to share is just be authentic, be real, be yourself. That people connect so much better to that. Stop why do we feel the need to be perfect or like everybody else? Like, you bring your own uniqueness to the world. That's what they need.
Listen, you are a gem and a gift.
Thank you.
Bravo to you in the industry that you're in. That's not easy to achieve what you have achieved for someone who's taught Spanish for 10 years. Of course, you didn't do that in Spanish in high school. I could never get the role of it
either. I actually didn't either, which is super weird. And then I took it again in college. I was like, oh, I'm actually good at this. Who would have thought?
You know, his name was Mr. Mendoza. I mean, he failed me. To this day, his name, Mendoza, haunts me.
Oh, I love it.
I love the language. But anyway, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You're a rock star. You're making a difference. And all the best for you, your husband, and your family.
Thank you. Same to you. I appreciate it, Jerry.
You're welcome. And to our audience, thank you for being here today as well. And so until next time, this is Jerry Foster, the Big Branding Guy, also known as the Branding Evangelist, signing off. Take care. Jerry Foster here. Thank you so much for listening to my Brand Forward Leadership Podcast. Now, if you are a successful service-based entrepreneur yourself and you've got amazing expertise, I mean services, skills, talents, and abilities that you offer through your company or yourself, and you've been in business for 5-10 years or more, and you would like to be a guest on this program, I would love to have you. Simply visit jerryfosterbranding.com/brandforwardleadership/apply, and I will certainly check you out and get to know you and so on and so forth. Now, let me just add a couple of other things. Number one, if you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media for me? And if so, just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on your socials, okay? And number two, if you know someone that you feel would be a great guest, someone that I should meet and connect with and so on and so forth, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag #BrandForwardLeadership, because I love seeing your posts. I love guest suggestions. That's how we all grow. That's how we all connect and make it through this world, which are through our relationships and our connections. And lastly, let me throw this in. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. I'm always on the lookout for not only great guests, but great content. And so therefore, because we're always putting great new stuff out, juicy stuff, make sure you don't miss any episodes in the future. So please go ahead and subscribe. And I also love what? I love support. I love love. So your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. So if you can find it in your heart to go ahead and show me that kind of support and love, I would really appreciate it. And on a second note, if you would like to know more about me, the work that I do, simply go to my website at jerryfosterbranding.com or follow me on LinkedIn or Facebook at Jerry Foster Branding or Instagram at Jerry Foster Big Brand Man. Okay? Jerry Foster Big Brand Man. Again, thanks for listening. Until we see you the next time, take care.